We're continuing our coverage of the arrest earlier this month of Janelle Laird, a young African-American woman. Her arrest was caught on video and it went viral. In the video, 18-year-old Laird is confronted outside of a mall in Madison by two white male police officers who used force, including a taser and physical force, to restrain her. Laird allegedly argued with mall employees over a stolen phone and threatened security guards with a knife, which police said was recovered later from her backpack.
The video has caused controversy in the community, and it's gotten national attention. Some say the police used too much force to restrain her. Others say the police handled the situation appropriately. Talked to guests yesterday who said the police used excessive force. Now we're hearing from Madison Police Chief Mike Koval. He joins us now. Chief Koval, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much for hosting me.
Well, this video is out there. A lot of people reacting to it. Some people saying, well, the video just shows part of the story. Can you set a little wider context of what people maybe didn't see, of what you think might have misled people in watching just the video?
Well, and even in the lead up to the intro of this entire incident, it should be noted that this call probably lasted from beginning, middle, and end closer to almost 15 minutes. So there was much happening in the East Town Mall food court prior to our arrival. And to a slight correction in that, not only did the defendant at that time threatened that she had a knife and that she would be willing to use it against the security, the mall security, but that was the second of the two victims. Initially, there was a threat made to an individual at Taco Bell that she believed had been the thief of her cell phone. So there had been a lot of talk and discussion. There had been actually two incidents then of threatening behavior, indicating that there was a knife involved, and coupled with language that was the case in terms of the threats. But again, I think I've seen but one time the short version, the minute or so, as well as a more extended version, which I think goes up to 6 minutes. But that's, again, you're looking at a snapshot that doesn't begin to discuss all of the context that's needed for a moving picture that had that many minutes.
And people have seen, I think in many cases, that longer video and maybe read the police complaint that summed up some of the information you just shared. The reaction seems to be split. Some people saying this person had demonstrated threatening behavior, had displayed a weapon earlier, the police use of force is appropriate. Other people saying it appears that the police had control of the situation, people feeling the taser, knee strikes, things like that were excessive. How do you weigh that in a situation like this?
Well, again, we have very strongly articulated case law from the United States Supreme Court. The case law has also been codified into some fairly rigorous continuum of force issues and discussions that are trained not just in the state of Wisconsin, but throughout the country. We obviously get as our template of options that can be used in any given situations, depending on what the officer, subject, factors, or variables are. We get ours from the Law Enforcement Standards Board from the state of Wisconsin. That's what everybody in Wisconsin is trained against. So what we have to do now, and I agree that there is quite a dichotomy of thought on this, is that we have taken the steps to farm this out to an independent, the Dane County Sheriff's Department, where their subject matter master trainer will basically apply the template of what's acceptable to those facts that they've seen. And all I'd ask is that people suspend judgment one way or the other until such time as we finally get that finding next week, I hope.
Yesterday we heard from Eric Upchurch with the Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition. I want to give a brief listen to some of what he had to say.
Okay. The community should be able to say, this isn't right, and we should be able to treat this case in a truly restorative fashion where we're holding the City of Madison Police Department accountable for their actions. Madison Police Department isn't being held accountable here.
So him saying there should be a community standard that holds police accountable, one of your predecessors, David Cooper, saying, yes, there are those legal standards. Yes, there are state guidelines. The community can demand and expect different standards above and beyond that. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that obviously I agree that the community should have a substantive element in who's hired, how they're trained, and what does that training look like? What are its points of emphasis? And who holds officers accountable? I would suggest that I can click off a number of ways that the police are going to ultimately held responsible. the folks I'm talking to right now, the Fourth Estate, are an obvious one. This has clearly been in the public forum and roundly debated, discussed, and may lead to some policy or substantive state law changes, for all I know, for all we know, because of this sort of traction. You have the Police and Fire Commission. Those are five citizens. They're not beholden to the police department. People can complain directly to them on any use of force or other complaint matters, or they can use our own internal affairs. And if they don't like the internal affairs finding from our own city, they can go to the PFC as sort of a second court of appeal for an independent finding. Similarly, we are obviously held responsible through civil litigation, liability from that standpoint. If it was excessive, then you could have the Department of Justice look at a civil rights violation through the federal courts. And let's not forget a sort of obtuse way, but ultimately, there's even a legislative process in here. I can remember a couple years ago now, when the very landlocked legislature of Wisconsin, owing to citizen involvement and participation, when those folks couldn't agree where to go to lunch, somehow or another they managed to come up with a law that puts Wisconsin at the top of the list for those states that require an independent investigation by another agency whenever there's a critical incident involving an officer shooting another person. So I guess I tend to disagree with that one-sided notion that there's no community involvement or not enough of it.
Talking to Madison Police Chief Mike Koval about police and use of force and police relations with communities and with minority communities. With all that you just listed, Chief Koval, do you feel like, do your officers maybe feel like they're under too much of a microscope, too much scrutiny? There's been the talk about the so-called Ferguson effect. Does it make it harder, you think, for your officers to do their jobs?
Well, I think without a doubt it sort of comes with the terrain, but again, that's up to me as the leader to say, let's reject the narrative that's being written elsewhere. Let's still march to the tune of our own drummer, park that squad car, and make an affirmative attempt to be even more engaging, even more relational, do more listening, and do more explaining as we do things with people. But there's no doubt, we just had an incident literally last night where there was a group of juveniles having a disturbance in the mall, in the same food court at Easttown, and officers were sent. And ultimately, you know, cameras were out everywhere. The officers did exactly what they did. They diffused the situation without incident. And at the end of the day, though, when I happened to see that incident, I called the supervisor who was sent, and I said, how did it go? And she says, you know, it was really different. Everybody had this sort of feeling of being very uncomfortable. And I think that's to be expected based on the recency of what's occurred here in Madison.
Now, of course, we have this national conversation where many members, younger members in particular of minority communities, feel uncomfortable in a different way. They feel like they're unfairly targeted, maybe get different treatment overtly or accidentally from police officers. How do you weigh those concerns?
Oh, I think that you have to accept them, because who else but those young people that are commenting that those are very unique and lifelong experiences in their life. And they didn't just create that impression overnight. Whenever I have a new class convened, I always have the entire class, I say, raise your hand. Have you ever been pulled over by the cops? Okay, how about 5 times, 10 times, 15 times? And it pains me to see that by the time I go through this ritual every year, the folks who have their hands in the air the longest are typically my recruit candidates of color and my women. So those are very real. Those are very visceral. And so we have to continue to do more to break down those barriers, historical or otherwise, and try to do more engagement so that people can see sort of beyond these cultural competencies that seem to be lacking for some, and that we have to do a better job of educating.
We heard from the department that since you've been in your position there, you've attempted to take a guardian approach to policing. Yep. in the community. What is that? What does that mean?
Well, basically, it actually started while I was still the sergeant directing the recruit class almost 4 years ago now. And basically, what I think part of the problem is in a post-911 world, and the police are complicit in this, is that we've become increasingly militarized under the auspices that the ends justifies the means when it comes to public safety, and through media reports and popular narratives that we see in movies and things. Increasingly, the cops look more like a warrior. The end justifies the means, that there's very little to worry about in terms of process and procedure. And that's regrettable. And I think we have to change or complete a paradigm shift in which we look at a guardian mindset as being entirely more inclusive, that rules do matter, that we can't accept or tolerate ancillary or collateral damages, and that we have to look at ourselves as vanguards of those who protect constitutional and individual rights. I think that's infinitely more inviting aesthetically, and if you adopt it at one level, I hope that you can inculcate it into your culture at a more substantive level.
Best case, what do you hope comes out of this controversy over this video, over this arrest of Janelle Laird, over the issue of police use of force? What would be the best outcome in the conversation we're having now?
Well, I think we've already started towards a better outcome than normal, because but for the fact that these officers were willing to enter into a restorative judgment sort of court option, we are now at the point where you can see that the officers are doing more than just talking a good talk. They're walking the walk when they say that their pledge to community policing is in fact what they're saying it is. We're not so concerned that the outcome be punitive. We're concerned that the outcome be restorative and the best possible resolution. So I think even in the 2 to 3 days following this situation, that we've already attempted to show some healing, some reconciliation, and hopefully from that will come, with peer circles, an opportunity to have not just dialogues in this immediate case, but to have greater dialogue in so many other contexts across the city.
Chief Koval, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be heard.
That's Mike Koval. He's chief of the Madison Police Department.